Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
Guys, we have the Pennies Going in Raw crew necks out from the Comfy Collection. Just one item. We also have the permanent ones. You get a permanent item, free shipping, I think. Get with the editors on that one. But look, guys, this one is real good looking, obnoxiously good looking. The market's been hot. We'd love for you to get some merch, wear it out, show us you love us. Thanks, guys. On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we talk about old companies that people love going public, this week in the market, and much more.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in Raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny.
And Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Sunday, November the 7th. Yep, November the 7th. And I mean, recording this Thursday because I'm heading up to New York on Friday. However, the market is, it's so hot. SPY is at 467 when we're recording this. $3 away from 500. Crazy. Small caps exploding. I mean, you're seeing pop and drops, so what? But you're also seeing pop and holds. This is exactly what we wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is great to see. And SPY, I saw a lot of people who were super bullish. And then FOMC happened on, Thursday. On Wednesday, and everybody turned super bearish when they said that they were going to taper. What a lot of people don't remember is that even though the Fed's going to taper like $5 billion, if the infrastructure deal passes, that effectively means that we're just going to put like $1 trillion more dollars into the market just through a different door. Like, that's what that means. It basically means like there's a inside a closet, there's like 50 people and we're taking one person out. And then we're basically to a completely separate closet. We're going to put like 500 people. Money's going to be added to the market just inside a different way, basically. You know, at the end of the day, SPY does need to pull back. Listen to me very carefully. SPY does need to pull back. So if you have some swings, you know, let's just say some Facebook options or some Amazon calls, stuff like that. You know, maybe it's a good time if you are very green on them to take profit, especially if it's not, if you're not value investing them and it's just simply going to be, it's just a trade. I do see SPY pulling back probably before we hit 500.
Yeah. But if it,
and that would be healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But if it does, if like two scenarios, let's say it pulls back, do you think it pulls back all the small caps with it? And let's say it just breaks through 500. Does it just keep rocking?
No, it definitely needs to pull back. It definitely needs to pull back. I say that it won't go through 500 before pulling back simply because 500 is a massive psychological level, which is crazy because I remember saying 250 was a big psychological level. And all I really want to see is like maybe us hit, 480, something like that, 485. And then let's pull back to 450 and then let's keep this party rocking and send her to 600. Fuck it. You know, it's one of those things where pullback is needed 100%, but it's needed for the overall health of the market. If we go, you know, if we go too far, let's say we go to 515 without any kind of retracement, any kind of pullback whatsoever, then I would call that unhealthy. And I would say that at that point, because there was such an exhaustion, that we would need a bigger pullback than what I'm calling for right now, if that kind of makes sense. Like, we have this range, and we're a little exhausted, you know, we're a little overbought, but a little tiny pullback and we can totally see 515, 520, 550 with no problem. But if we go too far and we exhaust too high, then that's where we started to get into the issue of being too overly exhausted.
But are you worried about like the state of the hot small cap market with a pullback, even if it's just 550 or 450, sorry?
No, I think that if anything, it would just bring more volume into small caps. In my opinion, I don't think anyone will want to touch the large caps until they kind of find support. Like I said, is that we're seeing this big move up, and everybody who, or most traders, will kind of see that that big move up needs to, you know, retract a little bit at some point. And so at that point, that's when I believe that we will come back down a little bit, and volume will flow into the small caps even more so than what we're seeing right now, until large caps find a support and start to curl back.
Okay, well, along with like what we've been seeing, there's been a lot of IPOs going on, a lot of companies going public. And one thing that's super interesting, it seems like a lot of them are some well-known companies, like ones that have the same demographic as the ones that pumped up GameStop and AMC. Let's see, Redbox, the DVD company, now kind of going into streaming. And then another one, Bird, Allbirds. So you got, I think it's shoes. Cortillo's, the food one from, I think it's Chicago. And just seems like a lot of these companies that have a following that are the same demographic as the new investors are going public. And some are even pivoting to today's standard of what's going on, with like Redbox going into streaming. And just today, it had a $50 seeking alpha price target when it was at $13. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think any of this has anything together?
Yeah, I see this being one of two ways. One being that this becomes a whole new theme to trade. And so anytime that one, it kind of like the tide that lifts all boats, when one of them gets news or something, this will become a new theme. Or I just kind of see this being like a fad, similar to, like a pop and a drop. And, sometimes they'll get news on their own and that individual stock will run. But I'm leaning towards, because of the popularity and because of the backstory, that this will become a theme and kind of like a basket and a group in it of itself. And I mean, that's a beautiful thing. When we get a theme that runs together and sticks, it's a great thing. So I think I'm a little biased because I want that. But I also think that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it is super interesting just seeing all these companies just come out and they're moving is so fast. These IPOs, I know we had an episode on it like a few months back, but trading these IPOs, especially the day they come out, can be super tough, but also super profitable.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing, is that there's only a few things that you need to look at, because you don't really need to look at, the company's financials. You don't need to sit there and dig through too much, because if it dips lower than the IPO price and the share structure is good, and you know that a catalyst is coming because you looked at the S1, which is pretty fresh, which has tons of information, then you don't need to, then sometimes you don't even need to hold it that long, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. But as long as you pick your entries and you have edge to that trade, then, most of the time, I'll say that it's pretty easy going and a pretty easy trader.
Yeah. So I know we kind of talked about last week preparing for the cold market. Is there anything, or even on Wednesday, is there anything that you've seen the past couple of days that, it seems like, hey, maybe slow down a little bit. Hey, keep pedal to the metal. How are you kind of approaching it? Are you still full throttle, or have you seen some stocks start failing and it's kind of giving you some worry?
Yeah, actually today, this Thursday, is the first day that I've had a significant red day trading, and I'm talking like six figures. So you know, thank God the swings are up, because the day trades today was a pretty brutal across the board for myself inside the day trades. But that being said, I've been pretty much floor to the pedal. I still think that floor to the pedal.
No, I mean, it's they've gotten it at this point. They know it's going.
But still, yes, I've been super floor to the pedal and continue to be like that until we do see that volume kind of seep out. And once we see that volume not really show up anymore. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I'm okay. Even with these losses today, I can kind of sit there and kind of look back about why there are these losses, but I don't testament to any kind of volume issue. It's just that I've been sizing up, and it's one of those days where, you know, the three or four or five ideas just in a row just haven't worked out, and that's okay, and that's the name of the game. So, you know, I'll probably size down Friday, or, you know, obviously you guys will be hearing this when it's not Friday. So I'll probably size down tomorrow, and I'll probably size down a little bit going into next week, just so that I can retrust the market on the long side. But I'm still super bullish. I still think that we're going to be super hot for the next 8 weeks going into the end of the year into 2022.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how different people approach a bump in a hot market. Like, you know, I'm the same with you. You know, one or two tough days, and I'll be like, hey, man, I'm not going to keep going full throttle. Look, I made all this money the past couple weeks, past month. I'm not going to lose it all trying to force what's not there. I mean, that's how you can really mess up. And we always hit on that is when you're forcing stuff in a market where it's not working, it's just going to... That Thursday and Wednesday bad luck is just going to keep continuing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly.
So I know we were just kind of talking about what we kind of look for before we start slowing down as traders. And, you know, we're instead of going floor to the pedal, as you may say, in a hot market. I mean, I know that you said you took some hits. You just want to be able to trust the market again. You know, is there something you look for in candles, maybe volume, that you'll just be able to see, hey, you know, the volume's not there? Although there are certain days where we're like, hey, the volume's not here right now, but it comes later in the day or it comes later in the week. So how do you know, like, to make sure you're not taking your foot off the gas when it's still a super hot market?
Yeah. So the great thing about really day trading is that the volume kind of sets the tone early. And what I mean by that is that if it's not trading 5, 6, 7 times relative volume, then it immediately goes off the screen. You know, that's the great thing about day trading is that the cards are kind of shown even before, you know, you get into the position based on, you know, whatever happened based on the news or, you know, based on the catalyst. So if something's not trading 5 or 6 times relative volume, then I don't even touch it. You know, I won't even touch it. So that's one of those situations where, you know, I won't day trade for 2 or 3 months just because there's nothing moving. You know, if there's no volume, then it's not going to move more than 20% on any kind of news. You know, even if the news is stellar, it really doesn't matter because the market dictates how it perceives the news. So again, if no relative volume, you know, 4, 5, 6 times, then I don't even touch it. And that's where, you know, I'll go months without having a day trade.
Yeah. So how are you approaching like getting back into swings? I know we've talked, I mean, it just seems like you've been all over these day trades recently, but the swings, I mean, so many are so beaten down. I mean, I know I had the perfect all-time great call on my size 18 hours before a PR that brought it up 10%. So, you know, my shoulders are hurting. But when you're looking to get back in these swings, I remember even last week I mentioned on here before I tweeted it about my size and also the ITRM being back at 54 and it hit 60 today for another 10%. And just going for those small hits, but also I'm holding a good bit too because you saw what they did just a few weeks ago with my size going to 3, ITRM going to 75. Still looking for that extra little move, but are you scaling into any positions you're seeing? Seems like you just had a bad trade.
Dude, I've lost so much in day trades today.
You've been day trading a lot?
Oh, yeah, I need a second. My swing that I have 2% of the company is up 10%, and I'm barely green.
This is good content, though. I mean.
I'm literally going to go fucking red.
On the day?
Yeah.
So you've been day trading heavy enough that you are having things that potentially move the needle with your day trades.
Yeah, well, it's down fucking 15% since I fucking bought it. It's literally just fucking down. Now somebody's selling 100,000. Fuck you.
So maybe we need to go for mentality.
I didn't sleep last night. I'm exhausted. I mean, I guess that should have just been like my fucking tell to not trade today.
Not today trade, yeah.
And I mean, all I've gotten is absolutely fucking smoked. I mean, I'm looking at just down the border, $50,000 loss, $21,000, $12,000, $23,000, $1,700, $16,000, $12,000, $19,000 across the board.
And were you green on any of them? For the listeners, I mean, I think it's a good time for you to reflect. What do you think you did wrong? I know this is probably the last thing he wants to do right now, but this is what we do for you at PGI.
I didn't fucking nap. This is fucking bullshit. No, I mean, I just fucked up. I was, you know, I've been sizing. And, you know, buying the dip has worked. Buying the dip has worked for like 2 weeks now. And I continuously buy the dip. You know, I overstayed. I was green. I'm pretty sure on most of these, at some point, I was green on them. At some point, I'm pretty sure most of them, except my biggest loss that I just... There's literally hasn't been an uptick. It's just big sell after big sell after big sell right into old Hugh over here. And, but other than that, it's just been, you know, lack of follow through, me sizing too heavy. I'm exhausted. I honestly should have just not traded today and I'd be in a much better position. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I understand like we, because it's like we always say, what we were just talking about 5 minutes ago is, you know, if one of these happens, so what? Fine. Don't let it continue to happen where you fuck up all your week's gains. I mean, I completely understand how you would want to wait for, you know, a bigger move. Like yesterday, XRTX went from 3 to 575 in the after hours, or 3-4 to 575. Like a 50% runner that was already up 40% on the day. When, yeah. You know, and if you were adding the dips on that all day, obviously you had a hell of an afternoon.
Yeah. And then today you got fucking smoked.
Smoked. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's definitely more difficult to trade these than it's been inside the past, you know, the past 2 weeks. For me, it's just really like I said, I'm exhausted, not making good decisions. Thank God. Literally thank God.
Yeah, so I think that's, if anyone was wondering about the hot market not being here, yeah, little bump in the road. We hope it comes back, obviously.
Yeah, I just revenge trade like across the board. I mean, I'm just pissed at myself because seriously, like I was napping and then someone called me, so I woke up from the nap. You know, I didn't sleep last night. Maybe slept like an hour and a half last night. And you know, I mean, right now, like I said, the dip's just been working and. And it's just gone, you know, higher. And so I thought that, you know, maybe I could squeeze out another good day. And actually, my first trade of the morning was going well, which is usually how I gauge how the rest of the day is going to go. And that was my really, I think, only green trade of the day. And then since then, I've had, you know, like 10 red trades. And like I said, I've just oversized, revenge traded. You know, I long, short, I was long both, you know, short. And nothing's worked today, and I should have walked away. I had hit my max loss on day trades by like 9:50 in the morning or like 10 a.m. in the morning Eastern time, and I still didn't walk away. So that's my fuck up. This might be my worst day trading since we've started recording the podcast. I've lost a significant amount more, and like I said, I'm exhausted, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things where you know, we all have the days. Even the guys you listen to on the podcast are, I'm sure if you watch the YouTube video, you'll see the second it all happened. So when the market's hot and versus when it's cold, how exactly do you change your approach to your Roth? Should you start to see it slow down? Now you said you're kind of pulling away from it a little bit this week. Are you also doing that in the Roth too? How do you kind of manage those trades in the Roth as well? Because I mean, when it's hot, it's tough to manage any other account besides just your own.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have a few different accounts. And as far as the Roth goes, it's pretty much like my highest conviction trade. So right now it's got like 65% of the Roth is all in BCTX. And then it holds like a few like value plays that I see. But pretty much it comes down to I'm okay with going heavy inside the Roth simply because I want that reward over the risk. And I trust my strategy. I trust my strategy enough to where it's to where I get to the point that I'm okay with putting that amount size inside my Roth so that I can have the highest potential reward. That being said, I also, the first thing that I usually cut is the Roth. So I'm really lean. I'm really mean around the edges with the Roth. Like I said, highest conviction. I take profits rather soon. Like the second that like news hits, I'm usually selling some inside the Roth just to lock some profit. Because at the end of the day, you know, you don't want any losses.
That's your retirement you're thinking about.
Exactly. And of course they're going to come. It's just, that, you know, I want to minimize them as much as possible. So I'm okay with the Roth. As far as the Roth goes, I'm okay with being off the bus two stops early, as long as that win rate is high and I can size the way that I want to.
So as it gets colder, you don't really have to change your strategy much at all. You're just really going for the same every time and just cutting differently in the hot, or?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, this was by far the largest position I've ever had inside the Roth. And that's because I'm trying to get over like a certain milestone with it, monetary wise. So with BCTX, when it pulled back to that 7 mark and it was just sitting there on support, I was like, fuck this. Like my risk reward is great. You know, I have DD. And so I put a large majority of it in there. And so far I'm up like 25% on it or something. So it's been working out great. But like I said, the second that news hits, you know, if we get 13 on BCTX, 14 on BCTX, I'll sell inside my Roth even before I touch my bigger account.
Yeah, BCTX, you've been quite bullish on for a while. It's gone from around 750 to 10 just in this past week.
It's up huge this week, but I mean, there's been a buyer in the tape. It had a pretty low volume pullback from that 950 down to like that 7 area mark. And I actually started, my sister opened up a Roth last year, I tried to fund it, and all she had to do was literally sign a waiver. That's all she had to do was sign a waiver for it, and the money would go through. And she never did it. And so this, when it pulled back there, I said, all right, we're doing this right now. And so I made her go and get it, and I just said, screw it. And I threw her all in on BCTX. And so she, you know, her Roth's up 20% at the first month. So yeah, she finally likes the Roth. But overall, you know, it again with the Roth, it's definitely higher conviction plays. But cutting them, being super lean, and honestly, if I traded like I do inside the Roth, everything else, I mean, I'd probably have some killer years. Because sometimes it just works that way, to where you're just selling, you know, faster, and you're selling at the proper times, you're not getting greedy. And so I've had some times where you know, the Roth is sometimes nailing top, or the Roth is doing really well.
Yeah. Speaking of your sister, dude, she sent like a hard eyes to me on Instagram, and I was like, oh my god, I wonder what picture it was. It was a picture of my cat. So yeah, whatever.
I can't believe it was the one where you shaved and just had the mustache.
I think I look good, dude.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, dude, a little muzzy. Speaking like your stock up a bunch, one that's down today, 20%. Everyone knows it. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. Penn, off of, I think it's alleged, basically women coming out and saying like, when we have sex, it is quite degrading. If anyone has seen the leaked video from like 8 months ago, from my understanding of what I kind of glanced over and saw, was they were like, he treated me like he treated the woman in that video. They didn't want to release their names because obviously the stoolies can be a little aggressive, but it is down 20% on the day, I assume, due to that information. Do you think this is something Portnoy just comes out, says fuck all this, or does he finally have like his lawyer step in for this and be like, hey, Davey, maybe chill?
Yeah, so I think he actually released a video statement about
like an Instagram live. Yeah,
literally, like that's what it was. And in the very first two sentences out of his mouth are, I met with the board, I met with the lawyers, and they wanted me to do this and not say that. And I said, fuck it, I'm going to do what I've always done. You know, it really...
So it's gone down a lot since his little statement. Okay, so...
Oh, no, yeah. No, it's still getting killed. And honestly, it's one of those things where, you know... I'm saying from all parties, it's never good when you get into a situation like this. I mean, Deshaun Watson is similar, different, but similar circumstances where you have a he said, she said. I mean, he
but
was
a
saying
lot more she said than he said.
Yeah, yeah. And you have like Portnoy was saying that one of the girls, you know, he knows exactly who it is, and which also I thought that there was a chance that he might release her name, so I thought, you know, that was a little bit of props on him because, you know, good for him. You know,
that'd
for
be being
the bigger. Yeah, that
doctor,
would be.
Yeah.
Listen. All I'm saying is that
just because he knows his audience would annihilate.
But that being said, he said that not only did that not happen, but not only did that not happen, but they didn't even have sex. So, you know, listen, I think that this is something where Penn. He has like 100 million in Penn, so he lost like 20 million today. Penn itself, I think, will recover. Portnoy, I mean, remains to be seen, I guess. You know, I don't think there's anything criminal thus far.
One claim that he recorded it without her knowledge, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, no, but I mean like I don't think any agencies have come out saying that like there's an investigation into it or anything, which if I'm just speaking freely, to be honest, I think that if I were going to write up this big article, I would also make sure that if I felt the right thing was for Portnoy to be in jail, which the article said, then, you know, I'd probably tell the authorities or, you know, have like a criminal investigation open, because at the end of the day,
a lot of times this is the way these cases get attention. Like the cops really won't do much until, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it just sucks all around. You know, no, none of these never these situations never end great because
was assaulted or treated unfairly, or someone is getting falsely accused. I mean,
somebody's getting falsely accused, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's always inside the back of your head. You know, like it's always there. You know, like it's kind of
like even if someone gets like a crazy charge and it gets dropped. I mean, whenever you Google that person's name, that's what comes up.
Yeah, and you know, and if it is true, then of course you have that side of it, which is just this, you know, terrible in and of itself. I mean, these never end good. These never end good on any circumstance. But from a stock perspective, it's crazy. You know, I mean, this is similar to like a CEO being, you know, I'm not going to say being arrested, but, you know, I mean, Penn really got killed. And the crazier thing is that Penn has earnings coming up, like literally this week.
Like this is like if Elon got a DUI, like Tesla probably dropped 20%.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I mean, even still, people be religiously buying that dip. I'll be interested to see where this opens up on Monday, because it's actually coming to the COVID anchored VWAP. I think it was Jake on Trendspider was talking about it earlier, that, you know, it's coming down to that key level to where, you know, it's either a major support or this thing goes lower. Mm. You know, and I'm talking purely from a technical standpoint. And so it'll also be interesting, you know, that if this happened on this article, you know, how will other things affect it? You know, like,
maybe
will this kind of be...
more things come out, yeah.
Yeah, more things come out. Or on the flip side, I mean, you know, Portnoy released a statement, but let's just say, you know, both sides, if other things come out, is Penn going to become kind of like a liquidity machine where you can day trade it? I don't know, but yeah, I wish opportunities came at a different expense, we'll see where this goes.
Also, just a little tidbit. We just learned this a little bit later, but Unusual Whales had a post and it even got a quote tweet from Dave Portnoy. So congrats on that, that apparently there were some big put buys, some people expecting Penn to go down right before the Business Insider article came out. So speculate as you would like, but check out Unusual Whales for more information on that. All right. Well, lastly, I know I made a couple references and made a couple tweets I deleted about. I got some stuff taken from me. And people wanted the story, so I'll just give it to you, man. So it was last Wednesday. It was game two, I think, of the Astros game. And we won. I go outside of my buddy's apartment to watch the fireworks, the beautiful fireworks. And on the adjacent balcony down below, there's this girl. She's cheering too. And she's like, "Do you live where?" I was like, "Yeah." And we get to chat and she's like, "Well, where you live?" And I told her what room number I lived in. And, time went on. She came over and we befriended each other and slumber party, whatever. I fall asleep around 3:30.
In the morning?
In the morning. Yeah. Sometimes you just and I wake up. Wow, great day. No one's there. Just how you'd like it in the morning. However, my Gucci backpack I bought 2 weeks ago, my Gucci satchel, gone. So gotta make sure the Rolex is there. The Rolex is gone. I'm just tossing shit out the closet like a madman. I stayed in my bedroom for 2 days straight. I was so, so sad. However, time went on. It's been a week.
You healed?
I've replaced my belongings. I've upgraded some. So, material goods, fuck them. Karma is going to... A piano is going to fall on her head. Or...
Okay. Okay.
No, like in the cartoons, that'll happen, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like metaphorically, kind of.
Listen, just a little comment here. I'm just going to throw this out there. Nobody wants a Ron John Gucci. Nobody wants a Ron John bag. Or, nobody's ever stolen my Nike hoodie. I'm just...
Yeah. Well... The more you know, man. Anyway, I'm gonna just like.
I also don't have slumber parties.
I'm never again.
Never again.
Hey, the cop. The next morning, whenever I was filing a police report, he goes, "Hey, man, let them sleep over, but don't let them sleep over." You know what I'm saying? And I was like,
"No,
I get it."
No way.
So, man.
Oh, I can't, man.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. It was a tough L for your boy, but it's not about how many times you fall down. It's about how many times you get back up. And on that note, I think that goes for you as well. You need to get back up. And if you noticed, Hugh's mic is crispy clear again because crispy. He realized he was recording on his webcam the past month. So we are deeply sorry for that, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Penny's Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.